So it's Luke chapter 2, and I'm beginning at verse 21, which is the story of Jesus being presented in the temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worship night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Thanks be to God.
If anyone does want to go out, please do head out. I didn't bring the word searches in here in case I saw you all working on them during my talk. So a little bit shorter than usual. We're going to be talking about waiting, in case you hadn't spotted that by now. Because it seemed appropriate on New Year's Eve, and also because this bit of the Gospel of Luke, we often don't get round to talking about in church. We kind of lose it. We go all the way up to the wise men, and then Simeon and Anna seem to get missed out. Perhaps because they're boring old people, I don't know, like me. So maybe that's the problem. And of course, actually, it's our church, because if you go to Anglican churches and go to evensong or evening prayer, then they will have this particular song here. And I thought a bit of culture for you all, a bit of Latin, Nunc Dimittis, and a bit of French, which I won't try and pronounce, Trériche de Duc de Berry, which is that lovely manuscript, which is a copy of this prayer that we find, this prayer that Simeon prays as he's holding the baby Jesus. And Nunc Dimittis means effectively, "Now let me depart." And it's a song that is often sung in Anglican churches on a Sunday evening. Now, that's all the high culture you're going to get from me today. I think I shared this with you a couple of weeks ago, one of my favorite Charlie Brown cartoons, Christmas is waiting and waiting and waiting. And as a child, I remember this was absolutely what Christmas was. We had a tradition in our family that we didn't open the main presents under the tree until after the Queen's speech. Never has 10 minutes seemed so long. Never has lunch seemed so long. And we hung around and waited, and eventually the wonderful time came and we got to our presents. And so this is about waiting, this sermon. And some of you are probably already thinking, I'm waiting for my coffee. Never has 15 minutes seemed so long, but we'll try and make it not quite that way. If you've got your Bibles, you might want to keep them open at Luke chapter 2 as we look at the story of these two people. But of course, it's quite interesting to work out what was going on and how old was Jesus. I just said Jesus was 6 weeks old, and I think that's about right, actually, from what we know. Because actually, what was going on were three different ceremonies that were required for the Jewish children and families, and we'll see what they are. We're going to look at Simeon and what he said about Jesus. We're going to look at Anna and how she responded. And then we're just going to think about what we're waiting for and waiting faithfully. Okay, so three different ceremonies. In verse 21, we read about a ceremony that happened on the eighth day when baby Jesus was circumcised and named. And he was named Jesus because that's what the angel had told Mary and Joseph he was to be called. And Jesus means the Lord is salvation or saviour. The Lord is salvation or saviour. And there's a whole bunch of references here. As usual, there's a sheet on the table. If you want to check these things afterwards, please pick up a sheet and take it away. But actually, it wasn't on the eighth day that Jesus meets with Simeon and Anna. It was about sometime after 40 days. Because there's two other festivals or ceremonies that they had to go through. The first one was taking a baby firstborn and taking them to present them to God. And that happened after 30 days. And you can see the references to where to find out about that if you want to look. And then after 40 days, the mother who'd given birth went to the temple for purification. I think about 50, 80 years ago in this country, that still used to happen. But I'm glad to say it doesn't anymore. But that was part of the picture, if you like, that they waited 40 days and then they went back to the temple after giving birth for a purification. So we're fairly sure it was after 40 days. So baby Jesus is about 6 weeks old when he's taken to the temple. And he's taken to the temple and in marches this guy Simeon. Now, actually, we're not told he's old. He looks old in this picture. Everyone thinks he's old, but we're not told he was old. We're actually told other things about him. But he clearly is someone who is very, very attuned to what God is doing. And it's interesting because his name means obedient or listening. And that might be quite appropriate. So Simeon, he goes along. Oh, this is what we're told about him. We're told in, I think it's verse... I've lost it now. Where are we? It says he was devout. I can't find it. Where is it? Here it is. Sorry, it's a different layout. Here we are. Verse 25. He was righteous and devout. He was right in his relationship with God, and he was right in the way he behaved towards people around him. And it says he was waiting, this is quite a hard phrase, for the consolation of Israel. And later we find that Anna was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And these are complicated phrases, but both of them, I think, in our language, are looking forward to God's rescue plan for his people and for everyone. Looking forward to God's rescue plan. So Simeon was a godly man who was waiting for God's rescue plan to come. And it tells us three times the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, this is really interesting because if you're describing someone, if you emphasize one particular thing, that's what really strikes you about this person. And amazingly, what we hear about Simeon was the Holy Spirit was upon him. If I can read it to you, it says in verse 25, the Holy Spirit was upon him. In verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 27, moved by the Spirit. And so we are hearing about a man who was in a good relationship with God, and actually before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was upon him and working in his life. You can think about the before Pentecost one because it's a good reminder that God's Spirit has worked in the world throughout all time. Although Pentecost was that special time when every believer, every Christian could receive the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit day by day. So it looks as though he was a man whose whole life was coloured by the fact that he knew from the Holy Spirit that God was bringing a rescue plan. And Simeon's purpose in life seems to be waiting for what God is going to do. But also, he's the sort of man, not just that lives kind of super spiritually every day, but who can actually be amazingly prompted by the Holy Spirit. He wasn't, as far as we know, a priest. He wasn't necessarily in the temple all the time like Anna was. No, Simeon might have been, I don't know, he might have been selling at his stall in the marketplace. He might have been digging a hole in the ground for the Jerusalem sewage company or something. And at that moment, Holy Spirit says to him, go to the temple. This is what you've been waiting for. Get there now. And he sets off. And of course, he prophesies about the baby as well, because the Holy Spirit gives him words, God's words, that we still know and share and sing today. And of course, the best thing he says is, my eyes have seen the Lord's salvation. And what does the name Jesus mean? The name means the Lord is salvation. So when he says, my eyes have seen the Lord's salvation, in one sense he's saying, my eyes have seen Jesus, holding him as a baby. But also he says, I recognize this baby is the Lord's salvation. Okay, so what did Simeon then say about Jesus? Because that's obviously really important. If there is a man who is filled with God's Holy Spirit, who gives words about Jesus. Well, the first thing he says is, salvation from God for everyone has come. This is God's rescue plan. This baby, somehow, amazingly, is going to save the world. Everyone. And it does bring out the everyone bit, because he doesn't just say that it's for the Jews, even though he would have probably thought in those terms, because his prophecy talks about a light of revelation to the Gentiles. And for glory to your people Israel. Now that isn't making it different. It's different from one to the other. It's just saying that this light is coming. It's going to be a new revelation to the Gentiles because they've not been included in God's promises before. But it's also for the glory of God's people Israel. And that the people of God are going to be redefined to include everyone that follows Jesus. That's what he says is going to happen. But he also says some difficult words to Mary. If you look down in verse 34, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. And that he wouldn't have known, I don't think, that Jesus was going to go to the cross. I'm sure he wouldn't have known that God was going to raise him on the third day. But what an interesting phrase, the falling and the rising of many. And as we come to baptism next week, we know that is a picture of the fact that we die in Christ and we're raised again in Christ. And that seems to be what's being spoken of here. But he also knows that Jesus is not going to be universally popular. He's going to cause division. And some people are going to hate Jesus. He's going to be a sign, yes, but a sign that is spoken against. People are going to oppose him. And he says this word, and this is relevant to us today as well, that this baby somehow is going to reveal the thoughts of each of our hearts. And he says to Mary, and you are going to be heartbroken. Your soul is going to be pierced because of the baby who has been born to you. My eyes have seen the Lord's salvation, Jesus. What an amazing prophecy for a man to bring, holding a baby and seeing God's rescue plan. Simeon was someone who believed that God had the whole world in his hands. The earth is the Lord's. But remarkably, if you think about it, think of this. A man who knew that God held him in the palm of his hands now holds God in his arms. The all-powerful God is a tiny baby, seemingly without any power at all. Simeon's words of praise express the deep joy that was his at this moment, a joy which so utterly filled and completed his life, he was ready to die. The whole world in God's hands, Simeon was holding the creator of the world in his arms. And that was his purpose, his completion. We don't know when he died. We don't know if he lived another 50 years and told people about this, or whether he died the next day. But he knew that he'd been promised by God salvation, and this had come. Anna. Anna means favor or grace or beautiful. It's the same name as Hannah in the Old Testament. And she was a lady who'd been around for 84 years. And it says that she went to the temple on a regular basis. Every day she was there doing stuff in the temple. And I was reading a commentary, and this particular question struck me. What did the professionals in the temple think about Simeon and Anna? Particularly Anna, who was always under their feet. Whatever they were doing, there she was, praising and doing whatever she did day after day. I reckon they probably felt a bit irritated by her at times. Why can't she go home and get out? Well, lock up and turn the lights off. And it was a good reminder to all of us, I think, that actually what God looks at is how we respond to him, not how we respond to other people. Of course, I think perhaps they also felt a bit under pressure, because maybe her worship showed up the poverty of their worship. She worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Now, do you think we do enough fasting and praying in this church? I wonder. Interesting enough, during last year, the elders, the leadership team, started to just fast on Monday mornings. And that's something which we hopefully will continue. And we might do some bit more teaching about fasting and perhaps encourage others to join us. And perhaps we might do some more than that. But praying, you know, our church theme, our church thing is very much emphasizing, prioritizing prayer. But I wonder if we actually do. And so it says that she prayed night and day. So I'm just going to give you a date for your diaries. Wednesday, the 17th of January. And I'm hoping that we're going to pray all night, from 8 o'clock in the evening till 8 o'clock the next morning. Now, I don't imagine that any of us are going to pray for the full 12 hours, but I'm going to encourage everyone to look at putting aside some time. Some of us here, some of you might not be here, but perhaps still joining us, to pray for the year ahead, night and day, praying as Anna did. And she gave thanks. She was full of thanks because she was looking forward to the redemption of Israel, God's rescue plan. So as we come to the end then of this brief look at these two unusual people, we know that Simeon, he was waiting, it says in verse 25, and Anna, she was looking forward, a different way of saying waiting. And it struck me that actually in the scriptures, there are so many encouragements to us to wait upon the Lord. Here's one from Psalm 27. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And as we're looking at the start of a new year, this might be perhaps a motto for us, to wait on the Lord. There's lots and lots of others. I've given you here a list more, which we're not going to go through now. And actually, often in the Psalms or other parts of the Bible, when we read, put your hope in the Lord, it's a very similar concept, and similar words are used as well. Wait on the Lord. And I wonder what you think actually this means. Well, waiting is about patience. I think we've covered that in the service already. Waiting is about patience. But it's also about putting your confidence in, your hope in, your expectation in what is going on. So if someone says to you, wait, that's about patience. But to wait on the Lord, that is about putting your hope and your expectation in what God is planning to do. And that is something which perhaps can encourage us as we enter this new year, that we wait on the Lord. This verse in Galatians chapter 6 is a lovely verse, and I've used the New Living Translation. Because this is, if we're waiting on the Lord, if you can't, can you read, may not be able to read that, so let me read it to you. So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. And so if you think about Anna, you think about Simeon, for many, many years waiting. Did they get discouraged? I'm sure they did sometimes. Did they give up? No, they didn't. because they knew they could trust in God who they were waiting on. And he delivered. And they saw that baby and knew that this was the start of God's rescue plan on earth. So finally, what are we waiting for? Well, obviously we come to 2018. And one of the things that some of us foolishly will do tomorrow are some New Year resolutions as we try to think about things. I was really struck, James, by what you shared about actually a New Year's resolution or perhaps waiting on God for actually being more disciplined about the time that we pray and the time that we read his word and listen to him. Maybe that's a good New Year resolution. Maybe the 17th of January can be part of your New Year resolutions. We had a meeting of those who lead the worship, the music leaders and the service leaders, just before Christmas. And one of the things we said was, it's so crowded in the first part of our service. And then we had a great idea how we could get 5 minutes more into our service time at the beginning of the service. And that is, if we started at 10 o'clock and not 10:05. Do you know, we had a service the other day and someone counted, and at 10 o'clock there were 65 people in the church, and by 10:30 there were 130 people in the church. Praise God for the 130, but one of the things that might be a good New Year's resolution for us all is to set off for church 5 or 10 minutes earlier, or perhaps half an hour earlier in some cases, so that we actually get some more time together in our worship. But I think, actually, if you want a really good resolution, perhaps actually Simeon's example of someone who actually was filled with God's Holy Spirit, who was moved by the Spirit, who turned to God's word and expected the Spirit to speak to him, that might be a great encouragement. Some people here might be waiting for the thing that's going to change everything. And I just wanted to give a warning about this. Some people think, oh, well, if only I could win the lottery. If only I could find a boyfriend or a girlfriend. If only I could this. If only I could get a new job. If only I could that. Actually, we know that none of these things in itself can make a real transformative difference. It's only in God that we can be changed. So if right now you're thinking, oh, well, I'm really looking forward to next year. I really hope I can see this change. Be careful. Put your hope and faith in God, not in a thing that might change your life. The Lord's salvation. Perhaps you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Well, he is there, growing up to be a baby, up to the cross where he died for us. God raised him from the dead. He offers his new start, his peace with God, which is what salvation is partly about. He offers that to us all. And are we looking forward to him coming back? Because actually, as we are here, we are, if you like, beyond the cross and the resurrection, but we're not at the end of the story yet. And the promise is that the one who first came as a baby will come back again in glory and will put everything in our world and in our lives right and will sort out all the wrong. And that is the thing that we are patiently waiting for. Maybe he will come back next year. When I was a teenager, let's go back a long time, 1970, okay, I kind of thought that Jesus would come back before the turn of the millennium, okay? He hasn't done. I'm now 62, and he hasn't come back yet. But of course, I'm not yet 84 like Anna, but I'm still looking forward to the fact that he will come back. Sometimes the thought of him coming back is a bit unnerving. You might think, well, I just want to see, you know, Chelsea win the Champions League again before Jesus returns. Or I want to get married before Jesus returns, or whatever. But actually, wherever we are in life, there is this promise that he's coming back. Let me read you these words to close. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Looking forward to something has a radical effect upon the way we live. So let's make sure, as we look forward to Jesus coming back, that we live in the light of that. We live lives filled with the Holy Spirit, blameless, at peace with God. Can we just take a moment of silence just to pray about what we've heard this morning? Almighty God, we worship you because of your rescue plan, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for those to whom you revealed your plan, who could see a baby and recognize the Lord is salvation. We thank you that most of us have come to know you as our Lord and Savior. And I pray today that you will help us look forward to the fact that this is not the end of the story, but that you are coming one day to renew the heavens and the earth, to bring in your reign of peace and righteousness. We thank you that for all of us, even if we die before you come back, we do not now fear any condemnation from you because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and because we have received and accepted your salvation. In a moment's silence, perhaps bring before the Lord what you're thinking about 2018, whether fearful or thrilled, whether you don't know what's going to happen or you do and you're reacting to it. Pray for yourself in a moment's silence in 2018. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God.